Well, praise Jesus. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. The presence of God and the blessings of God. Amen? You know, y'all don't always see it like I see it. I stand up here at the pulpit and I look at y'all night after night or service after service, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, and Sunday after Sunday. I see y'all coming in for years. And, you know, you change. If you get in the presence of God, stay in the presence of God, you change. Amen? For the better. You change. You get better looking. Shiny faces. That's what the Spirit of God will do for you. Well, get your Bibles out. Let's go back to Psalms 139 tonight. I got a few more things I want to share with you. Psalms 139, I want to just look at verse 14. Well, let's read 13 and then 14, and then I want to go on tonight. In 13 it says, For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Everybody say, my soul knows very well. Your head is crazy, but your soul knows very well. Amen? I'm telling you, your head is crazy, but your soul knows very well. We have to have our mental capacities and our mental faculties to function in life and do certain things and all that kind of stuff like that. But when your head gets to talking to you and things are going on, let me tell you what, you crazy. You think crazy, you believe crazy, you then that if you listen to it long enough, you start to act crazy. Am I preaching good? Come on, we all do it, we all walk through it. We all get bombarded or traumas or this or that in the life, and we get into play what if. Y'all ever played what if? What if is a distant cousin of the Yabbit syndrome. They're distant cousins. Yabbit syndrome is, you know, oh, yeah, but God. Oh, yeah, but this. Yeah, but. And playing what if is its distant cousin, right? And those are horrible things to play because they're not based on truth. They're based on speculation. They're based on you know, fears are based on concerns. They're not based upon the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says your soul knows very well. Down inside of each and every one of us, there is a capacity down within our soul to know God, to hear from God, to hear from heaven, to know what's right, to know what's wrong, to be sensitive to the things of God, to be sensitive to the presence of God. It is. I'm telling you. I've got this thing on the inside of me, and you know, people have been accused of me before being hard and uncaring and whatever else. But I'm telling you what, I can get around certain people, and I know they're rotten. And I'm not saying judgmental. Like I'm not talking about, because I'm around some woolly-looking people. I'm not talking about I judged them because of, you know, their character or their color or their dress or their whatever. But I just get around certain people, like, and I just can down here in my gut know that something ain't right with that guy or that girl or whatever. I just get around them and say, man, something ain't right there. And I remember forget one time a situation happened where a guy was going to marry a girl, and the father came and said something to me. And I said, man, I want to tell you something. That guy's rotten. I said, man, you better do everything you can to break that thing up. That guy's bad. And he said, the father just berailed me, just said, you never give anybody a chance. You were as hard and calloused and judgmental of a person I've ever known in my life. And I said, mark my words, this day, write it down on a piece of paper. I said it. And it was about 3 years went by, and it was just all broke loose. And he came and said, you know, I wish I'd listened to you. And I said, just telling you, down here, not in my head, here. Folks, you got to learn to follow the voice of God on the inside of you. Not some, well, I've been around those kind of people before, and I don't like, no, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about something inside of your spirit that gives you a check that says that's not right. And then you try to think it out logically. Well, you know, but yeah, I'm telling you, if it ain't right, it ain't right. If you don't like, quit. I've even gone to things before where everybody said, it has to be done now, it has to be done now, it has to be done now. And inside of me, I'm like, I don't know, something, I don't know what to do. I just don't, if I go this way, it doesn't seem right. If I go this way, it doesn't seem right. And if I go this way, it doesn't seem right. And I don't want to back up. And I just don't know what to do. And I said, I just don't know what to do. I'm not going to do anything. They said, well, you got to do something. We got to go. We got to go. And I said, I don't know. Just forget it. I'm not going to do it. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, boom, boom, something comes up. And it's like, oh, well, you know, that worked out. I was like, thank God I didn't move. Today, I spent about 4 hours. No, not that long. Yeah, it was on a whole course of about 4 hours, trying to figure out how to get a piece of pipe and some concrete. All right? And just get a piece of pipe down in through some concrete. And so I was looking at it, and I looked, and I said, well, let's do it this way. And then the guys would come back and say, well, it won't work that way. And I said, well. And I said, well, let's do it this way. And then it wouldn't work that way. And finally, I said, just give me the piece of pipe. They said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'll just leave it. We ain't going to put it in. They said, well, we got to put something in. And I said, I don't know. It ain't right. Something ain't right. They're all just looking at me like, you're crazy. We got to do something. I said, I don't know. Something's just not right. We're just not going to do anything. He said, well, we're pouring concrete in the morning. I said, I don't care. Pour concrete in the morning. Fill it up the ditch. I don't even care. I'm tired of messing with this thing. And then something changed, and I did not need that piece of pipe in there. Now, I've been trying for 4 hours to shove it in there. I turned it this way and that away and this and that and was going to make them change everything and this and that and the other, and I didn't even need it. But I didn't hear a booming voice. I didn't hear something from the sky. The skies didn't part and say, Robert, stop. You know, it was in my nords, down in my spirit. Your soul knows God. Your soul was created. You were fearfully and wonderfully created in your womb by God Almighty, or in your mother's womb by God Almighty. And he created in you a listener. If you let me say it this way, a tuning device that you could tune into his station. It's in you. The problem is we never get still enough in our mind and our running around to hear it. There's interference that blocks it from coming in. And the interference is the craziness of our thinking and our minds that gets us off track one way or the other, that causes us to get in fear, to cause us to get into to whatever our weakness is. Y'all with me? No? Y'all, is this okay? All right. Now, go over to the book of Judges. Let me show you something here. Go to Judges. Judges 15. It's the story of Samson. And I was reading this the other day and looking through it, and I just saw something here that I kind of thought was almost humorous. You know, if you go and you study the life of Samson, you look at his parents, Manoah and his wife, who the angel of the Lord appears to and speaks to him, telling them they're going to have a son. And they tell him that he's going to be a Nazarite, to not shave his head, or he's going to basically don't eat, drink any strong drink, and some things about him in life and to not do. And so they raised Samson up to be a good boy. But he was a spoiled kid, because right off the bat, rather than wanting to obey the covenant of God and have a wife from Israel, an Israelite, he wants a Philistine woman. Okay? And so right off the bat, he's, in one sense, breaking the law of God, but God was still with him. He's walking down the road, and a lion comes out and attacks him. And the Spirit of God comes on him, and he kills it. All of us, you would, if that ever happened to you, that's one thing you'd want to pray for, is God, give me strength to, you know, defeat the lion, but not just run and scream in terror. Might as well stand and fight. Anyway, And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and it says that he tears the lion to pieces. I mean, he didn't just, like, it wasn't just a big struggle, and he wrestled around, and he finally got him by the, you know, by the throat and choked him down and killed him. It says he tore him to pieces and then threw the carcass off. I mean, that's amazing. Now, I have my own, I can't prove this, but I have my own thinking about Samson. I don't think Samson was a big muscle guy. I personally don't think Samson was a big, huge, you know, muscle-bound guy that, you know, was, you know, really looked strong. He may have, you know, he may have been. I don't know. I don't think he was, because I don't think it had been a miracle in the Bible if he did the feats that he did, if he was somebody that looked big. I just think God would have used somebody, because he always used the weakest thing he could find, so he got the most glory. So I've always kind of thought Samson, we think about him as this big tough guy, but when you get to heaven, he may be like a little shrimp. You know, 110-pounder wet or something. You with me? And I can't prove that. That's a Robert Richards theory, okay? But anyway, if you notice this, look in chapter 15, you know that the different things that happened to him. In chapter 15, verse 4, he catches 300 foxes. The feat of catching 300 foxes is pretty impressive. Ties their tails together, turns them loose just to pick a fight. Burns all the Philistines' wheat fields. Can you imagine the scene? How did he get 300 foxes caught and their tails tied together and a fire between them and not get bit? Looked like a squirrel just chewed up his arm, you know? I mean, how did that work? Anyway, it's the miracle. 300 foxes he gets together. Then it goes over, and verse 14, he finally gets the fight he wanted. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that was burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands, and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Do you notice it says a fresh one? Of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. But do you notice the key here? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You see, we live our lives, And we've got to find this place in our soul that comes in contact with the living God, that the Spirit of God comes upon us and gives us the strength and the might that we need for the battles that are before us. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that you're going to sustain and do anything. Right? And there's this place, if you let me say it this way, there's this well, there's this spot, there is something in you that only, it's unique to you, it's created in you. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, the gifts that are in you, the well that's within you. Ephesians 2 says that Jesus tore down the partition that was between us and God and tore that wall down so we could go boldly into the throne room of grace, right? So you can have that relationship with Christ. You're going to walk right up to the creator of the world and have a talk with him. It's only the doubt within our minds, it's only the doubt within our hearts, and the lack of faith on our part that keeps us from every day walking boldly into the throne room of grace and receiving everything that we need from heaven. It's within your soul, some sort of a makeup, a compositional makeup within the soul of your body that connects as an umbilical cord to the Spirit of God that gives you strength. Myself, I'm as guilty as any of us that I touch at times and I get a shot, some juice from the Holy Ghost. We'll say it that way. I get charged up, get my batteries going, and then I go along, and then I may get busy and whatever, and then I don't stay there, I don't live there, I don't dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Y'all with me? And the key to having joy in life, the key to having victory in life within our mental state and walking with our soul is to find that spot and live in that spot. It is possible. I'm not saying I've arrived, but I strive every day for that spot. Now, this is what I want to tell you that may be a little different. Each of you, none of us are the same in here, okay? We all, I guess, you know, we have a certain amount of organs and things like that that are all the same. But I mean, you know, we're not all the same. We're all different. We're all created different. We all have different genetic backgrounds within us, right? We're different heights. We're different weights. We're different sizes. We're different shapes. Yeah, like it's a rhyme or something. And so because you're uniquely created in each one of you, you're uniquely created the way that you touch heaven. You're uniquely created the way you touch heaven. We all can come in church. We all can sit and worship. We can all do this. But you have to find the uniqueness, the gift in you, what it is in your soul that gets you to touch heaven. I'm not talking about listening to sad music that makes you cry. Oh, I touched heaven. No, that may not be it at all. Then again, it may be. Climb to the highest peak of the mountain and watch the sun come up. That may just be you. May be it. Or it may not be. Maybe wait until the sun goes down. Somewhere, somehow, some way, me, myself, personally, I find it right here in my word. This Bible is a source. When I open it up, I open up the portal to heaven. When I read my Bible, I'm having a personal discussion. I don't know what anybody else is getting done in the world, but I personally am sitting there talking to God. I don't know what anybody else is doing. I don't know how he's answering anybody else's question because he's talking to me. I go through the scriptures. I look at things. I laugh. I joke the way things are and with the Lord and say, you know, God, what was he thinking? Samson messing around with Delilah. What was he doing? Why I have questions for him. Why did he pick up a jawbone on an ass? Was it just what was available? Or were you making a point? Does the jawbone of the ass have anything to do with anything? You with me? This is my conversation. This is the way it goes. This is what I'm looking at. This is what, because there's something down on the inside of me that begins to churn and begins to stir when I begin to have conversation like this with the Lord. My wife just started to go to the piano. Let her begin to play. I have to watch myself. I get on my guitar and I begin to play. I'll start to worship, start to worship, start to worship. The next thing I know, I'm singing Folsom Prison Blues or something, you know? Have to watch it. But your soul knows. And I want to tell you something. It's what brings peace to you. That's how you know what's in your soul. That's how you know you're gravitating to the right direction, because it your soul knows very well. And there's no way we can sit here and I can tell every one of you. I can tell you all generally, right? But the Bible says you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You each have to find your own path. You each have to find your own portal. I can preach to you that it's there. I can preach to you how it may feel. We can have worship here and the Spirit of God's there. But you have to touch it every day. And when you touch it every day, it changes your life. Does it mean everything's going to be okay? Absolutely not. It just means you're going to be smiling as you go through the bad things. That God's going to give you an answer in the midst of the trials. That you're going to find certain jewels and things in life that bless your heart. But you got to find it. You've got to find the place, and you've got to learn to live there, because that is the only place there is that there's sanity. I've never been to the throne of God where he said, I'm so glad you showed up today. I've just about had enough of you. Can you not get it right? I've dealt with you and dealt with you, and what is the matter with you? That's not God speaking to you. I've never been to the throne. Touch the place of heaven. He says, I'm so glad you showed up. No. And I believe that religion tries to teach us that it's just a routine. It's just a, you just say rote prayers and you just say, go through routines and you go through certain things. You just walk, you know, and that, and then and that's what you did. But there's this place, there's the secret place of the Most High. This morning, you know, it's so funny at this time of year, when you get up in the morning and it's cool. I don't know if I just have a windshield problem or what. But I get up and I when I leave my house, I'm having to go east. And the sun's coming up and it hits my window and it's got the, you know, the moisture on it from the night. And it's cool. And then I put the windshield wipers on and then it just smears everywhere and I can't see anything. And I feel like a doofus as I roll my window down and stick my head out the window, because if I make it up over the little hill, then it's not in my eyes anymore and I can see, but I'm looking out the side of my window because I can't see where I'm going. It's totally bugged over. It's not bugs. I don't know what it is. It just won't get off my window. So today, about halfway up beside the hill, I said, this is ridiculous. I can't see anything. I want to run off the road or hit somebody or whatever. So I just pulled over the side of the road, shut her down, and got me a rag and started trying to wipe my window off. I wasn't getting anywhere. As much as I wiped, it was still coming back up. And I started laughing because I was talking to the Lord as I was leaving to go over to the job. And I started laughing. I said, you know that funny, Lord? It's kind of like sin here. And I'd go, and then it would go, come back. And I'd say, it's kind of like sin. You just keep trying to wipe it off, and it just comes back. And this is cool. And so I got up and outside. And so I spent 10 minutes with a lesson on my windshield learning about sin and that, you know, God thanking him that he took away sin, that he removed it. And then what was funny is, I turned my defroster on, and I turned it on heat, and then turned it up real high, and as soon as the heat came on, then the windshield got hot and went away. And I said, man, isn't that a lesson right there, Lord? Turn up the heat, and finally we all get right. Here it is, Lord, praise you, Jesus. Getting a message as I'm going down the road with my old dirty windshield. But it's fun, right? Who says religion? Who says serving Jesus? Who says talking to heaven has to be complicated? Why can't it be right there at the front of the truck? You know? I learned a lesson. And you see, church, you've got to find that. You've got to find that, and it's got to be in your life every day. Every day, every day, every day. I'm amazed by how much knowledge the world has. You know, like in about everything. I'm amazed at how young people have so much knowledge about computers and telephones and all this kind of stuff like this can make them just do anything. And yet people don't have any idea about, they're trying to say God's not real. And they have no idea about the secret place, no idea about it's well with their soul, no idea about the things that really mean something. And it's sad. You know what? So whatever it is, wherever it is, folks, you got to find it. Look at the person beside you and say, go find it. Now, I'll go on with the rest of this later, but because I want to talk to you about don't giving it up. Don't give your strength up. But amen? Your soul knows it. It ain't good. You already know it. You just got to find it. It's already in your closet. You just got to dig through and find it. Or like my wife says, it really is in the cabinet. You just need to look. I said, I did look. And it's not there. It's right there, I'm telling you. And it usually is. I just didn't see it. Did it happen to anybody else around here? Is that just a man thing? We just can't see? We're blind or what? Women mess with their mind. That's what I tell her. I said, she moves things and then tells me it was where it was and then just so that it makes me look bad. I agree with you, Carrie. That's a word right there from heaven, if I ever heard it. Amen. Well, praise God.